The sermon is based on the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we just heard. I reread the last couple of verses. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you'd like, you can follow along the sermon notes on the little yellow half page. We have been following during this whole time of Epiphany the assigned readings out of 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15. And in chapter 15, we've taken 3 weeks to consider it. And I replaced, all these were the regular readings, although this week I replaced the epistle reading with the assigned reading from Hebrews to finish up chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And if you think about it, there is this very close connection to the victory over death, the end of death in Christ's death and resurrection, and his transfiguration. He is the Son of God. And we listen to him. And as all these chapters of 1 Corinthians that we've covered in much less 15, I have to apologize to you. There's way more sermons in chapter 15 than 3. Because there's so much here that Paul wants to share, that he wanted to share with the Christians in Corinth, and he shares with us today as well. So these are some highlights out of this section of chapter 15, but there's more there too. He points out to the Corinthians that when God made Adam, he created Adam and Eve according to this world and this universe. And so Adam is from the dust, from the ground, from the things of this world that God first created in those first 5 days, and then on the sixth day created Adam and Eve. And Eve is formed from Adam. They're all together of this world, their bodies. That is God's design. And Paul brings this out in his teachings in these verses, because, first of all, this is very evident, isn't it? For even in Scripture it says, "For dust you are, to dust you will return." Our bodies are of the things of this universe, of our existence here. And when we die, we return to the earth. And that's what we see naturally. And that's what many people believe, that's it, that's done. But Paul's point here that brings out, yes, that's how God created him. That's from the first Adam, but there is a second Adam. And something more happens. And I have printed there verses 47 through 48 of 1 Corinthians 15. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And herein we see some very close things that we can learn from Jesus' transfiguration. We do not shine like that of our own. Maybe if we put lights all over us and plug in those lights, then we could become real bright, but that's not our brightness. That's the electricity from the lights on us. But he was lit up on his own. He was truly human. He took our human nature upon him, but he is God and he remains God. And we see that he walked and slept and talked and visited and grew up with his family and his disciples, and yet he is God. Fully human nature taken on, but is God. He never left that or dropped that. He remains God. And Paul's showing that, do you see then, that when this Son of God taken on human nature, then when he dies and rises, what he is also can come to us in baptism. And in Romans 6, he's very clear on that. Everything that Jesus, his grace, his power, his heavenly nature, his spiritual nature, that is given to us. Not that we are God like he is God, but this special neat nature of heaven, that comes to his people. So that we will have some of those heavenly qualities. When he rose from the dead, he still ate some fish. He still visited with his disciples. They knew him. And yet he was different. He passed through the walls. He just appeared. He showed his heavenly nature, his spiritual nature, his divine nature. And Paul wants the Corinthians to see, yes, you have this body of the earth now. The elements of the earth make up what you are, yes. But those in Christ will take on what he is. Do not doubt that. We can't see this. We can't measure this. And so it is a mystery. And he says, brothers, what I'm telling you is a mystery. You can't see it. You can't measure it. But it's proclaimed as the truth. And I've noted there, underlined, at God's timing, all Christians living and asleep will be changed to receive our new bodies. And that is part of the mystery, and that's why I underlined it in the notes. It's God's timing. God will reveal these truths to our eyes, to our intellect, to our senses, fully in his time. Many times in life, we Christians can say, well, oh, if God would give me, reminds me of that my wife, reminds me of that one joke book about the Preacher comic book. There's a comic book I had from my aunt. It's called The Preacher. This was not in the sermon. I'll tell you this joke, though. He says, oh, God, if I just had a sign, if I just had a sign, then I would be stronger, then I would be stronger. This is a comic, drawn comic. And so this preacher in his collar is saying this, and the next frame in the comic, there's a giant poof, pow! And then the next frame in the comic, he's holding a sign that says no parking. Kind of, I think it means don't stop here, buddy, you just keep going. See, we act like that. If I have a sign, I'll be okay. But this great mystery is revealed in God's timing. That's why it's a mystery. We haven't seen it yet. It's God's timing, how this is all going to work out. It's his plan. He's in control. When am I going to get a new body? When am I going to go to heaven? When is Jesus going to come again? It's his timing. He's in control because he's going to put this new body together for us. And so it's a mystery. We're not in control of it. God is. And this mystery, is this language is so mysterious, Jesus will swallow up death. Swallow up death so it doesn't exist anymore. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? It exists no longer. We believe it. But that timing is still coming. It's still a mystery. It's still in God's timing. This fully see and reveal this. Now, that little quote there in 1 Corinthians 15, "O death is swallowed up in victory," is taken, it's from the Old Testament. Paul is quoting a passage from the Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, and I have several verses there to get the context. From Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah prophesied, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples and the veil that is spread over all nations." That covering and the veil is death. He's going to swallow up death at that time, remove it. And then verse 8, "He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" In Isaiah's prophecy, he includes the joy of the people. When they see this, they said, "This is the Lord. We have waited for him." You see, it's God's timing. It's a mystery. We haven't seen it yet, but we believe it. It's a truth. We haven't seen the evidence. We haven't seen all that yet. And Paul says, but it's going to come true, even as Isaiah says. And the people in the Isaiah passage rejoice and says, "We have waited for God. Now it's come to pass." What are the 2 points that we just heard about the transfiguration? Jesus is God. Listen to him. Jesus revealed his divine nature. When he was on that mountaintop and his 3 disciples that were with him, he shined. He is God. And God the Father says, and listen to him. This is the one by which we will all shine one day. Not our glory, but his glory reflected through us. He will recreate our bodies. He will give us everlasting life. Listen to him. This is the Christ, the voice even said. This is the Messiah, the promised one. Jesus showed his divine quality with his heavenly body. We see that. And do you see how Jesus has power over life and death when he takes Elijah and Moses and brings them from heaven and says, "I want you to be with me on the mountaintop so that Peter, James, and John see you. And we're going to talk about when I go," and Luke says, or Matthew says, "we're going to talk about when I go to Jerusalem." That's how much power Jesus has. If he wants a prophet who has already died to come back and be witness, he can do it. Power over life and death. And God the Father directs us to listen to him. The very last verse of chapter 15 from 1 Corinthians, Paul says something that's so important to take to heart for us too. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." What is the first word of that sentence, "therefore," referring to? It's referring to everything about the resurrection and Jesus' power over death and victory over death that he has just taught us. Therefore, knowing all this, thus, you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that last phrase of that sentence, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. But Lord, I'm doing this so many times over and over again that it's not happening. I know this must be your will, but why is it not happening? Lord, I'm just waiting for you to take me home, but it's not happening. In the Lord, our labor is not in vain. In His timing, in His measurements, in His eternity, our labor is not in vain. Jesus has risen. He is God. He has defeated death, and yet we haven't seen it all yet. But Paul says, your labor is not in vain. It's in the Lord. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to continue to strengthen our faith and confidence that you are risen, that you are the Son of God, and that you will bring us not only to heaven, but raise our bodies one day as well to live with you forever and all your people. Give us such confidence and hope in this that we are immovable and steadfast, and we keep working in your name. Comfort us for the things that seem not to be completed or aren't happening, but comfort us to know that you are in control, even of death itself. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of, in your holy name. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here," 414.